part something about regulators and what's law, therefore. We've got private lawyers and we've got regulators and what should each have been doing. Madoff was running an investment advisory business for about 50 years and nobody really got close, even when the people who were feeding him money were investigated by the SEC in the early 90s. Nothing was spotted about him. Marco Polis, the guy towards the end at the Senate committee who was talking with a bit of spit in the corner of his mouth, he'd been writing letters to the SEC, one of the last of which had the heading, "And the world's largest hedge fund is a fraud." And still the SEC managed to do nothing. Once they went to investigate Madoff in, I think it was 2005, they investigated him for 2 years and found nothing. It wasn't until he handed himself in that finally the SEC acknowledged something was wrong. 2 years of investigations and they didn't spot what was happening. It was just incredible how inept a regulator can be at that level. I say about 9% of the New York Stock Exchange has been through Madoff at one stage. No one's looking to him. He's clearly that big. No one wants to ask. No one's asking where the 20% returns are coming from. Just assume you can do it. One of Marco Polis's points is you could just draw a graph of where Madoff's profits were and they were a steady straight line. 20%. They just increased to that level. Nothing happens like that in the world. They're kind of jagged, little bits of up and down. There were 96% of all of the months in which he published figures were positive. You know, it just doesn't happen. You just don't keep cranking up like that. Almost no losses. He didn't charge fees to feeder funds. People that were giving funds into Madoff weren't even being charged fees for Madoff doing that business. Why on earth didn't they think there was something odd about that? There's just Madoff doing that. Doesn't that clang a bell? Why is this guy doing it for free? Because he wants your money. It's a Ponzi scheme. No due diligence by the fund managers. They just didn't investigate what was happening with the investments at all. How can you invest hundreds of millions with somebody and not ask what are they investing it in? And want to see electronic receipts as to what money's been paid on or not. Nobody noticed. 50 years and nobody noticed. 50 years! The fund managers are getting kickbacks because they're not being charged fees, so they're keeping that. So Century, one of the feeder funds that were given money to Madoff, had about $100 million from that. And that's why they're not asking questions. This guy's not charging us fees, so we can keep all that stuff for ourselves. That's why. You're not asking because you're making money out of it. I mean, how's that not Hong Kong and Reed? He used a tiny accountancy firm upstate, someone that was just going to sign off his accounts all the time. Not, you know, Pete Marwick, not Pricewaterhouse, none of those kind of big firms. Why? Why is he the only one doing this way? And he made it a condition that he wouldn't be listed as an investment advisor. Remember the transparency, that regulation here? You know, I don't want my name mentioned. I don't want anyone to know I'm doing this business. Why not? Doesn't that make you think, why are we not supposed to? I thought this is transparency. I thought we're supposed to make all of this available. The exact opposite with Madoff. And everyone's saying, he was the guy. We were captive to him. You know, something vaguely homoerotic and all that. His way of doing business, everyone just agreed. He has his operation hidden on a different floor. They used to have literally memory sticks, kind of zip drives and things, where they kept all of the records on. Nothing was left on hard drive anywhere. Completely separate IT system from the rest of the business. Nobody else knew what was going on. Nobody ever asked. You didn't ask. Bernie wouldn't let you. The hard copy statements, very, very peculiar. Coming days after the trades, nobody thought this is odd. Other than Marco Polis, who'd been writing letters for the SEC for about 7 years. There was a team with them, apparently. They got obsessed with it in different countries. You know, SEC, writing for 7 years. SEC never occurs to them anything wrong. And even when they investigated, they couldn't find it. The due diligence officer is in Bermuda. Everyone's in New York. One of these big funds has got their due diligence guy in Bermuda. How on earth are you asking questions from a beach in Bermuda about what people are doing in New York? That's about saying we've got a due diligence guy, but in practice we don't want him doing anything. Yeah. I work for a big investment bank. They have their due diligence guy in the Cotton Centre at London Bridge and all their traders in the Strand. One guy on his own with a secretary and that was it. I mean, you know, that's one of the reasons I didn't stay there very long. In business for 45 years, no one noticed. I mean, it's just a litany of these things that someone can do this long. It's also a lesson in practice that when you're dealing with a monster, you know, whether it's a Robert Maxwell, whether it's someone like Azal Nadir allegedly, whether it's one of these guys like Madoff who insists on everything being done their way, you've got to ask basic questions or just literally get out of there. And why regulators aren't in these places asking. So when we start thinking about regulators and whether we've got good enough rules but not good enough regulators, I think this is the classic example of regulators just not wanting to get involved with the guy who's got 9% of the stock exchange going through him. Why would anything be wrong with him? He's too big to be corrupt. You know, and this one, as no one could believe it.
you know, that Madoff turned out. He was chairman of NASDAQ at one stage, so one of the stock exchanges. I mean, just astonishing. Nobody thought this guy could be running anything like this. And no one spotted the obvious signals. So this is when we start thinking about, have we got good enough rules? Separate question, have we got good enough regulators? And so it's two separate questions, really. Does the regulation work? And are we putting it into practice in the appropriate way? I think they're two entirely separate things, both of them equally important. All right, jolly good. I've kept you far today as it is. Let's go.